The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week with your host, Tomasz Fonseca, and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Hello and welcome back to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast. I am your host, Timothy Caetano. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. Well, if you know the guest that I have today, you probably know him because he is giving you the best service. And he's giving you memorable service. And you probably referred him to a couple of friends. If it wasn't for the service, then you're probably someone that went to him for advice and he helped shape up your real estate career. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am here today with the luminary in real estate, the legend, and it is everybody's favorite realtor, Daniel Berger. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Timothy. Thank you very much. I thought you were reading the introduction to somebody else, but I appreciate the kind words.
It's all you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I always say this because I know that this is a really demanding career and this 30 minutes can do a lot for you, but you chose to be here and educate our audience, and I appreciate you for that. For those that don't know who you are, can you just tell us a bit more about yourself and how you got into real estate?
Sure. I've been in the beverage world for 20-something years as a regional, national sales manager and all that for different products. And I've always liked selling myself, so it's always been a natural. I happened to be in the solar business, and the solar business went bankrupt. It was a big company. And so my wife was like, well, you should become a real estate agent. So I do owe my wife of 28 years, who was like 9 years ago, was like, you should do real estate. So I looked into it. I became an agent pretty quickly, and then and a broker actually a little bit sooner than what calls for it. I pushed it because I love selling and I also love mentoring and helping people. So for me, being a broker owner is like a dual purpose for me, because A, I can go out there and sell, and I've been doing a lot of that, but also I can help other people in their careers. And both things satisfy me greatly, and I don't mind doing it. I just came off of, I visited, my son was in Europe, and I visited him the last 10 days, and my phone was always out, always helping people. You know, people didn't know where I was because they don't need to, right? So ultimately, my phone rings, I pick it up, and good things come from picking up your phone.
Wow. First of all, we have to thank your wife, because I think a lot of people really, if your clients are hearing this, the people that you've serviced or the agents that you've mentored are hearing this, they were like, oh, wait, so we should really thank her, because if it wasn't for her, you wouldn't have made the impact that you've made today. You wouldn't have put the smiles on people's faces that you have today. And I think this just, it's a testament to just having the right partner that steers in the right direction. So shout out to her. And you've been in different industries, and, you know, going into the real estate industry is quite different. It's not, you know, your regular 9 to 5. I can imagine that the first year of you doing real estate was challenging. How did you get through the challenges? And what were some of the challenges? Because I know that you're probably going to mention them, and someone's going to be like, that's not something we're experiencing now. For a person that just got into real estate, they don't know what it was like back then. So what were the challenges that you faced when you first got into real estate, and how did you overcome them?
I think one of the challenges is that you're not an expert in the beginning, right? Well, I'm 55 now, so it was 9-10 years ago. So I did have some experiences, life experiences. I owned a property, so I have gone through it. So it's very hard to be new, don't own a house, don't, like, how are you coaching people on buying things when you haven't done it? So I had that, but I definitely had people that had more experience than me, but I didn't want anyone to work harder than me. Or so, like, I would work all the time and I would pick up the phone, and I did. A lot of other agents don't, they kind of thump on their chest that they don't pay for leads. Well, I do pay for leads, because leads are potential clients. and potential experiences. And my view was, even if I broke even in the first year of paying for leads, those people would then have dividends. It's kind of like farming, right? Where you plant the seeds and some crops don't even produce yield for a few years. So my view was that even, and so I invested like $1,500 a month myself and new people to meet. And I would do low end, I would do anything, right? So you, how are you expecting to do a $2 million thing as your first deal, except if you know the person? So if you're just trying to nurture it, I would take anything. I did co-ops, I did condos, I did rentals. I did anything because those, I think I did 45 transactions in my first year because those aren't really transactions. Those are people that I'm helping. And examples of some of the people in my first year, I've now done 5 and 6 deals and you learn with it. So always be true to yourself and always let your clients know who you are and what you're about. I don't need to be the best. I don't need to be the best in my town. I don't need to be the best. I just need to be the best me. And being the best me has turned into being accessible to clients, bringing experts in when we need experts, if we need an engineer or we need a lawyer or we need a banker or whatever it is, that, you know, that's the issue. So I surround myself with quality people who are always available. Like, it's, you don't have banker's hours of 9 to 5 or whatever. It's like people need mortgage pre-approvals on Saturdays and Sundays, and people need you to answer the phone, and police officers or nurses might be working the night shift and maybe they have a break at 11:30 or midnight and I'm answering my phone or I'm texting because if I'm up, I want to help my people. So it's always just helping people is the key.
And I like that because we've spoken before and you mentioned that you have a commitment to client satisfaction and you're willing to pick up the phone, even if it's your birthday. You're going to pick up the phone and be like, you guys, tight guys, so turn down the music. It's my client right now. And you, that person.
I mean, we've had conversations before, which is funny. So it was my birthday. I had like 50 people over my house. Yeah. My phone rings or I get a text at like 10:30. Can someone see something the next day?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm setting up the appointment 9:30 the next morning. We're showing a property. It's a client that I've worked with before. The funny thing is I just ran into her at the baggage claim coming back from Europe. And she's like, oh, Danny, how are you? And then my wife was there. So I'm introducing my wife and my daughter to her. So you just never know where things are going to happen. And so you're right. So it was 11:30. I just had a lot of people over. I'm going to pick up my phone. And so you never know. Yesterday, I picked up my phone and somebody's like, you know, you came, I did an internet search of you. You look great. I have a client that wants to buy something for $1.5 million. Here it is. Wow. I was like, so if I don't, and they know that it's not like we talked about in the past, I don't really have an admin. I don't have a transaction coordinator. I do it myself because people like when I answer the phone and people want me to take them to the house. And so my goal is not scale and not to be big. My goal is to properly satisfy the clients that I have with me doing it. So I just received something that I was the 7th top REMAX agent in the state of New York for based off of sales for the whole state as an individual. So I just got that for last year. I'm not into goaling in the sense, like I don't chart out how many listings I'm going to get or how many buyers, because I've always thought that doesn't make me get a listing because I have a dream that I want to have 27 listings this year. Well, answering my phone and connecting with people, I text a lot and I try to do individual texts so that people see that it's from me, not from a computer or AI generated. And people do like that, or at least enough people like it that keep me super, super busy. And so even when I was on vacation, my daughter was making TikToks. We were in Italy. We were in Vienna. We were in Prague. And I'm sending people because they don't want to just know about what you're doing with real estate. They want to see a little bit of your life. And in Prague, we did a hot tub thing that was full of beer and we were drinking beer. It's like, it's the thing. And my clients got a kick out of it because they're seeing my family. We're in, you know, bathing suits in these hot tubs and we're drinking beer. And they're just like, you know, that's incredible. And so it's really just shared experiences, working with people, knowing that you have their best interest. I closed yesterday on on a sister of a client. I thanked everybody. My posts are all about thanking the lawyers, the inspectors, the lenders, the other agent. I was the buyer's agent yesterday, listing agent. And I thank people and I tag people. And so it's really not about me. It's about everyone else. And probably my best trait is being a really good quarterback to bring people together to get to the finish line, right? If a client has a goal to sell something, then how do I make sure that we sell it and sell it the best way that we can it's not always the highest offer, right? It's the one that's going to get you to a closing table. So it's just kind of like that innate sense of trying to pick the right people and also communicating. So I work from the clients. So it's really educating them about the process and then guiding them and allowing them to make choices. And sometimes I'm like, okay, this is, you know, client A, this is what we might have. And client B, this is what we might have. And just really letting them know. I get to the point now that people are like, Danny, you just do whatever's in my best interest, please do it. And that's something that you have to earn, right? I'm not trying to rush. If I represent a buyer, I'm not rushing them. I showed one client 205 houses over 13 months because she wasn't ready. And a lot of agents are like, why wouldn't you fire them? And I'm like, fire them? I don't want to fire anybody. They ended up buying a house for like $1.1 million all in cash.
Wow.
They've referred three people to me. I've also now, so they had a relative that passed. I sold their, you know, over $1 million house in another market. So I don't really fire people. It's about relationship building. And I also have deals where I've sold without the people ever being in the house with Zooming, and they wanted it. And how do you make the deal done? So I show houses all the time. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bore me. It's people can take their time until they find the house that they want. When they find the house that they want, then my job is to go quickly to ensure that they get what they want. So it's not what I want, it's what they want. So that math has worked well for me and helping people through the process.
Wow, that is amazing. And to agents that are listening to this, if you're a person that wants to get into real estate and you're listening to this right now, there's a couple of things that I want you to pick up from this. One thing that I like about you, Daniel, is your commitment to excellence, like giving the best service that you can, being accessible and being available for your clients, and transparency. I think you would not be able to have those moments where you can sell the house without someone actually seeing it, where someone can say, hey, you do whatever would be the best for me. That comes from a point where people trust you. People know that your goal is to just make sure that they're happy at the end of the day. So I think a lot of agents listening to this is the people that want to get into real estate is going into this, be accessible, be that person that your clients can rely on and count on. Because I will tell you this, guys, if you're a person that wants to buy a house or sell a house, or a real estate agent that wants to connect with Daniel, I guarantee you, give Daniel a call. I guarantee you, no one else is picking up the phone but him. I'm a witness to that. And I love that about you. You're always there. Now, as a person, you said that you are passionate about coaching. With the qualities that you have, do you ever find it challenging to coach realtors to replicate your formula on what worked for you, or to have the same qualities of you that you have? Is it ever a challenge? Do you ever get to a point where you're like, no, man, like, wait, pick up your phone. What's going on? Does it ever get challenging in that aspect?
Everyone has to be genuine, right? Mm-hmm. So I can share with people what I do. And when I place offers and when I have communications back and forth, some that are good, some that are not good, I share them with people on my team. I send them the emails. I discuss it. I do screenshots. So I try to have them learn from the process that works for me. But everyone's different. And so being a new real estate agent is really, it's really difficult. And it's difficult because if you can't do it part-time. So if you think this is going to be a side hustle, you might get a couple of deals because maybe a couple of people that are selling things or a couple of buyers, but I couldn't, if I did this part time, I do this more than full time. I do it almost time and a half or two times in order to be able to make a living, you have to have a lot of buyers in your pipeline because not everyone's ready to buy at the same time. And you have to nurture some people that aren't ready yet. So the people that aren't ready today might be ready in 6 months, a year, 2 years. And so you constantly, there's always a different form of communication. And I don't even really use like a CRM system. My head is my CRM of sending information out to people, or I do a lot of meeting requests where I'll put notes in of what I need to do to people, but I just kind of know what I need to do. Certainly I have people on like alerts from the MLS that sends out properties, but it's the other things that I'm doing time and time again, always trying to share. But it is not a part-time job. I mean, if you want part-time income, then it can be a part-time job, but it's really difficult. You have to be available. You have to understand what's going on. And the commitment to making this your career, and it's also difficult because it's unlike a 9-to-5 job. Every week or every 2 weeks, you don't get a paycheck. And real estate agents are independent contractors who have to fund their own healthcare, who have to fund their own retirement account. My retirement's the most important thing. I ensure that I put my money into my retirement. Most people don't do that. So that's something that I've seen from being in bigger business for years, you know, but I continue doing that. And a lot of people don't do that. And you need a cushion because you can go weeks or months without, if you're working full time, you're not going to go months without closings, because you basically pile them up, right? You get something in contract, you get another thing in contract. Okay, now one closes, now you do another one, you do a rental. So you always have to have everything, you have to just be available and doing so. But I understand though that a newer person, maybe they have 5 closings, 10 closings. It really depends, and it's a hard market where if the demand is high and supply is low, you're gonna be bidding, you might bid on 5 or 10 different houses or properties before you get an accepted offer. And then you have to make sure that accepted offer gets to contract. There's so many things that can get in the way, but why do I love it so much? I love it so much because technically I'm my boss, right? Mm-hmm. So I have two parts of my job. One is being a broker where I kind of manage independent contractors. And then I'm also an independent contractor on myself. And I enjoy that. So it means you have to work more, but it means that I don't really have to listen to silly rules. That's why I became a broker. So I only have to follow the law, right? Yeah. So if the state of New York says this is the law, then I just have to follow it. And so I've been able to be very creative helping my clients. So I had one client, they had a reverse mortgage. They were on an oxygen tank. They weren't working. We needed to sell their house. I ended up investing like $15,000 in doing their deck and some other painting. Wow. That I lent them the money with no interest, just because this house was all the money that they had and they needed to make it look a little bit better to get some interest in it. Wow. Then before they sold the house, before they moved, they needed a place to go to, a rental. They didn't really have the money. All their money was tied up in their house. So they didn't have first month, last month and security. I lent them that too. I remember at closing, I think I received like $26,000 as repayment for a non-interest loan and $16,000 for the actual commission on their property. But these people have referred people to me. They were referred by someone else. The stories that they tell, that other people tell, I mean, they basically cried at the closing table and were hugging me and said that I really helped their life. And like, what more do I want? Like that. To me, that is why I do this, why I take risk in lending people money. You know, in the end of the day, it's only about relationship building. And so that's what it really interests me. I love doing it. And I work so hard so that I'm able to do those types of things. And sometimes you get screwed, sometimes you do, but such is life. And I want to be the best me that I can be. And so when I try to mentor other people, I can show them the things that I do, not that they should do it. But they have to be the best that they can be, right? They have to commit to the hours. They have to answer their phone. They have to volunteer for open houses, right? If you're not doing open houses and there are open houses to be had, then, and you're sitting at home, then that's fine, right? Everyone can do what they want, but then don't complain that you're not busy or you're not. So it's hard, and you really need self-motivated people, I believe, in order to really be successful. I can't be the person to push people into doing stuff, right? You have to do this. I'm not going to do, but I'm available to my team they call me, I get emails, phone calls every day, all the time. And I enjoy helping people. And so those are the people that are committed, that want to get better, that have questions. What would I do? Those are questions that they ask a lot. So that's how I go about my business.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, I said this at the beginning, like your commitment to building relationships and giving the best service that you can, you're going above and beyond. And that's something that a lot of agents don't do. They're not willing to go the extra mile. They're not willing to give their helping hand to a client because to them, they're just looking at, hey, I have to gain, if I have to gain something from this. But, you know, even just reading the reviews, you can see that you have a connection with people. You've created that relationship with people. And I think that's something that I truly respect about, because going through your reviews, you can see that this is coming from the heart when a person is showing their gratitude and being like, hey, this is what Daniel did for me. And I think that is quite amazing. Now, just before we go, I have one question for you. What advice do you have to real estate agents, to aspiring real estate agents and agents that have just got into the industry? And there's a lot of changes in the market right now. There's a lot that's being said. What is your advice to them, you know, for them to be the best version of themselves in this current market?
Well, one thing I would say is that there's a lot of chatter about what may happen. Mm. At this point, with the whole, there's a tentative settlement. It's not approved yet. Mm. But there's so many people thinking about what they're changing their business now. They're thinking what they have to do. My view is everyone should sit back, relax a little bit. Let's see what actually comes out. There's a lot of reasons why some of the things that they're talking about don't make sense. So we'll have to see what happens. And ultimately, when the rules changes, then I'll adapt, right? I don't want to pre-adapt to something that may or may not happen. But ultimately, just like with anything, you can always, if somebody, right now there's probably fixed price agents out in the country that you can use, a fixed price person. It's whatever it is, 1%, 500, whatever the number is, you could go use them. But you do get what you pay for. And so just like when someone needs a very important surgery, they go to a good doctor, right? They search the doctors. Where do they go to school? What are people saying about looking at their reviews? People travel to different cities to have surgeries or whatever. So clearly, if you're representing us, I don't think things are going to change that much. I do think that obviously, if you're going to have a listing agent, you're going to have a buyer's agent, both need to get paid. I think that's going to still continue. I think if people feel that buyer's agents are going to go away, then I think what's my guess would be at some point, there'll be enough buyers that get kind of hoodwinked and screwed by a listing agent that is only worth, whose due diligence is not to the buyer, but to the seller, then things will happen. And then there'll be another course correction that's done to try to fix that, which is kind of where we're at. So, you know, I can't even imagine where we're at with this whole the price fixing, because if someone looked at all of my commission rates, they're different. They're multiple different, because you know what? Sometimes I'm in a competitive situation. Some houses are easier to sell than others. Some I have to do more work. Some I might have to stage. Some I have to take videos. Some I have to take drones. Some I have to, there's so many, you know, maybe it's a repeat person. Maybe they're buying and selling. So the fact that one price is not, and even in my market, it's flexible. You know, I try not to pay attention too much to the noise until it's a law. And then we'll adapt to it. I'm not worried that the value that I add isn't worth it. Does it make it a little harder with somebody who's a brand new buyer who might have just clicked on some search engine, then gets to me and then they're like, I don't want to hire you. I'm like, okay. So, you know, we'll figure it out. But ultimately, I don't work with buyers. I've never worked with a buyer's agreement. In 9 years, I don't have buyer's agreement. I basically have a handshake agreement with the people that I'm working with, that the houses that I show them, they're going to work with me. The number of people that have strayed and gone with other people is so few and far between that it's okay. Right. And if someone doesn't want to work with me, then don't work with me. And then I'll work with someone else. So that's where you have to know that you're valuable. And that if I represent someone as a seller, I'm going to do the best job to list, market, and sell their house. And if I represent a buyer, that I'm going to do the best to make sure that they're buying eyes wide open. They know what they're buying and that it makes sense for them. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of things about the future that we don't know about, but to let that control the narrative, I think, of what may be. I don't like to do that. I like to control the narrative for what is and work with what is, and then make adjustments as it happens, and not be like the sky is falling to people. Just keep pick up your phone still. Pick up your phone, try to help people. Can you help everyone? Nope, you can't help people. And sometimes I was mentoring another agent last night where someone's trying to really negotiate hard on a listing commission, and person didn't feel comfortable, the agent. And I was like, listen, you have to have what your value is. And if you, and you know, then say no. Say, this is based off of the parameters that we have. This is what I feel is appropriate. Maybe they're maybe they don't have anyone. Maybe they're just challenging you. They're testing to see if you relent so quickly, then are you going to relent so quickly when a buyer comes to buy their house? You know, and you're not going to get everything. I'm not the best agent probably in my town, but I work really hard. And then the people that do work with me appreciate that. So again, just be true to yourself, be the best that you can. Make sure that you invest the time and effort to educate yourself, surround yourself with experts, and just really make sure that you're looking out for the best interests of your clients. Because in the end of the day, I work for my review. I don't work for a check that I get at the table. I work to super satisfy my clients. So when we have a closing, I have a tradition where I toast them and we do shots. Yesterday we did Johnny Walker Black, and I think it was at 2:30 in the afternoon, toasting everyone. We take pictures of it. We post it on Instagram. And because it's a celebration that they were buying a house, I do it for that. And then they're like, can I write a review for you? So I didn't even have to ask them. And they were already asking because they know that I have reviews and they want to be a part of it. Or they say, can you take a pic? I was going to be away. And this closing, my client actually said, we're not closing when you're away. We're waiting for you to get back. So the day after I get back is when they scheduled closing, because they wanted me to take a picture of them holding the sold sign. Wow. Because they've seen it on my social media and they wanted to be a part of that. And so that's all I've been able to build, right? Is that I built this network of people that are trying to buy and sell, get excited by it. They enjoy working with me. I love working with them, and we make things happen. So that's my why and why I love real estate so much. I wouldn't be able to do that in another field, a 9-to-5 working for somebody else. But when I work for me, I'm able to do all those things, which I love.
Wow, that is amazing. Daniel, thank you so much. I think a lot of realtors here can learn a lot from you. I think from this episode alone, this is enough for you to just better yourself. You know, I think this is one of those episodes that can help you change how you approach this career. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you made it this far, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you are the person that wants the best service, then Daniel is your guy. If you are a real estate agent and you want top-notch coaching, you want coaching on how to become a top producing agent, then ladies and gentlemen, Daniel is your guy. And if you want super satisfaction, you want to be holding that soul sign with Daniel and you want to take some shots with him after that, Daniel is your guy, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel, thank you so much for being with us. I truly appreciate you. Thank you for your contributions to the industry and to our audience as well. From the Icons team, myself, thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing the Icons of Real Estate and asking me to come on board. You're just trying to promote education and communication, which is great. That's what we're all about. I appreciate you as well and your team, and thank you very much.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it has been an amazing, amazing episode with your host, Timothy Caetano, and the luminary and the super satisfaction agent, Daniel Berger. Ladies and gentlemen, till we meet again next time, take care and peace.